At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Love Sport.
Comedy Breakfast on Love Sport Radio. Ireland got lucky, really. They beat Gibraltar 1-0.
Only just.
Yeah. And Gibraltar, by the way, are really hardly any better than San Marino. Yeah.
That was Snoresville, though, that game. It was a snore fest.
Didn't see the game.
Mick McCarthy was his usual happy self after the game as well.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know much about the Irish team and what they can do and whether they're any good. Obviously, their best young player has up sticks and
well,
come over to England.
They're struggling at the moment. You know, they're better than Scotland, but they still have that problem where I suppose they're struggling to find genuine top-class talent to play in. So they're very much workmanlike, but they don't score enough goals and the creativity is lacking. So they're very much, they huff and they puff. But, you know, the fact that they only scored one against Gibraltar tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I guess. and as for Northern Ireland, similar thing, only a bit more recent success, I guess. Actually, no, Ireland also qualified for the Euros, didn't they?
Yeah, they
beat
did.
Italy.
Yeah, no, they did.
Great night that was.
But again, they they're lacking quality. They should be better than where they are. Northern Ireland are still, you know, the remnants of them qualifying. Those players are still around. You know, your Johnny Evanses and people like that. My wonder is, you know, I think Gareth McCauley is still around it. And I think when you get to that age, I mean, Gareth McCauley didn't have a club and he was still playing. That tells you the lack of quality they have. If someone who hasn't got a club and is into his late 30s, I think, is still...
For Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tells you the problem you got.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at some of the other results around Europe. I mean, the big shock really yesterday was Hungary beating Croatia 2-1,
yeah,
which, like I say, really helps Wales because Croatia would be the favourites for that group.
Yeah,
but I mean, there'll be two to qualify from that group, so Wales have got a very, very good chance.
They've
anyway.
Got a chance. It's a hell of a shot in the arm, that one, for them, because they're in a good position now. They just have to, and the thing about it is, you know, the international break comes along now and it's a while before you get back together, and if you haven't got, you know, you're kind of hoping that everyone's fit. If they are all fit, you got a chance.
Do you think this Croatia time reached their peak in the semi-finals of the World Cup and it sort of felt like that was as far as they... Sorry, in the final. And
yeah,
that's as far as they can go.
It appears that way because, again, their best players are in decline. Let's be honest. Your Modrics and your Rakitic and stuff. They're over the hill now. And again, like a lot of countries, it's about how you phase those older players out and introduce the younger players seamlessly. That's going to be the job for the manager. It's a difficult job because often very few countries get that right. Very few clubs get that right.
Well, it's how you bring in those new young players,
yeah,
as you say. It's not a simple thing, which is why I sort of, you know, back to England, we've enjoyed it because they are integrating those new young players.
He's done it really well. He really has.
And he hasn't seemed to have upset too many players.
He hasn't upset the paying public either, because normally the paying public have one or two of their favourites.
In England, we've been so let down,
yeah,
over the years by the so-called superstar players,
that's right.
The golden generation, if you like. And we just sort of thought, no, let's try something else, really. If you think how embarrassing it was what happened with Italy in 2016,
yeah,
at the Euros, and it ended with Andrea Pirlo putting Joe Hart on his arse,
yeah,
and it sort of felt like a metaphor for the whole thing,
yeah,
really.
I call it the gold-plated generation because that's literally what it was. It wasn't the golden generation because, yeah, it was almost like, I'm not saying they were imposters, but they didn't, individually, yes. As a team,
no.
Not at all. This team will be better.
Yeah, well, one would hope so. Jamie has come in, by the way. Jamie?
Yeah, Ronnie O'Sullivan is the new snooker number one at the age of 36 years old. He was last number one in 2010. I didn't realise,
yeah,
he'd had that much of a break between...
You know what? It doesn't really matter to a certain extent. I mean, as I said, because we had that as one of the headlines, he's always been the world number one. The fact that he hasn't played enough tournaments to get the ranking points. We've all known who's the best. And he is the best. Yeah, he's just got his 1,000th century. Did it with his left hand, for goodness sake, to get the ball. Absolutely brilliant. We know how good he is.
He's a Serena Williams, isn't he, of snooker. You know, she does the same thing. You know she's the best player in the world. You know he's been the best player in the world for yonks.
He just hasn't been bothered.
He seems to have found a bit more consistency, though, in recent, last year or so, I think. Goes into tournaments and you're surprised if he's not in the final, whereas I think maybe about 4 or 5 years ago he was losing games and losing quarterfinals and you were going, oh, it's a bit of a surprise. He lost his appetite.
Couldn't be bothered either. I think it's more about the appetite than about any talent that he might have, and I know it might be slightly rude to say that, but I imagine also that every snooker player is quite a bit richer than they would otherwise be and that's only because of Ronnie O'Sullivan, because he attracts money and sponsorship to the sport that they would not get without him.
I think if he'd been driven like Stephen Hendry or Steve Davis,
not that sort of talent.
That's what I'm saying. You very rarely get that kind of talent driven. It's very, and he is a very emotional player. Whereas Davis and Hendry, what they did was they checked their emotion out at the door. He bought his in, and that's what made him.
Steve Davis once at the Comedy Store, and we were chatting after the show.
He's actually quite funny.
That was the thing. But he said, I said, well, how do you feel about the old Steve interest in Davis and you're the most boring man on earth? He said, it's absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me. He said, because what would happen is I'd turn up at some do where I was talking, and then I'd start talking and people would say, oh, he's not as boring as we thought he'd be. And that is about, you know what we've been talking about? He is a DJ, But you know what we've been talking about? Lowering expectations. You can't lower expectations anymore than thinking that the most boring man on earth is going to speak. And then when he turns up, we go, oh, yeah, he's not that dull.
Funny,
and he said it was absolutely perfect for him. But he was a machine. Whereas Ronnie O'Sullivan is much more, like you say, an emotional player. Yeah. I hope he wins.
Who's better in their pump? Ronnie O'Sullivan or Stephen Hendry?
Ronnie's Lionel Messi.
Better than Hendry is.
Well, listen. For me, the reason why I pick Messi over because he gives me moments of joy. And Ronnie O'Sullivan, when the first time I saw him play with his left hand, it was just a moment for me where I just thought, wow. Yeah,
he can do anything. Wow. He can do anything. Ronnie is the Lionel Messi. He's Roger Federer. He's Michael Jordan. He's that of snooker.
Yeah.
And no one has ever come near. Listen, Steve Davis was an unbelievable player. Mm. And I saw him beat, I think it was Joe Johnson, 18-5 in the world final. And he played the last black and it went in. And he jumped back like he'd had an electrical shock. And he was in a trance. And he told me that was the case. He was in a basic. He was a snooker trance. And he was a machine. But he ain't. He doesn't give you joy like Stephen, like Ronnie.
No.
Ronnie's different altogether.
He's unique, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And plus, he's world number one and great. And I hope he wins two more world titles because he should be acknowledged as the greatest of all time.
Plus, you know he could lose it at any moment. And that's the joy, the unknown. You really don't know. You know you're going to get some quality, but you really don't know what else you're going to get from
him. Yeah, he's going to start complaining about the place smelling like a toilet or something. And you know what? Great. You're not going to get Steve Davis or Stephen Hendry complaining about the place smelling like a toilet.
No, I imagine. You're not. David Warner is back playing cricket again. He made 85 for Sunrisers Hyderabad in the Indian Premier League. He had a partnership with Johnny Bairstow. And if you remember, during the last Ashes, those two didn't get on very well. I think Warner made a few comments, personal comments, about Johnny Bairstow.
I sort of vaguely remember this.
Yeah, but the pair of them put on a century partnership together yesterday.
Doesn't mean they have to talk to each other. They just don't run each other out. I mean, they're 22 yards apart at all times, aren't they, really? Except when they're running past. When they cross, they go, I don't like you, mate. Don't like you either. Yeah. As they go past.
Both Aussie.
No, they're not both Aussie. I was going to do, you know what? You're absolutely right. No, I think Bairstow does the Aussie accent to wind Warner up. That's what I've heard.
And Warner does a Yorkshire accent, I imagine.
Not in that bit.
Not
in the sketch that I just did.
Yes, but they put on a century together. Johnny Bairstow, batted quite well. Warner again coming back after a long break. Apparently, Warner said he's normally quite chirpy in the change room, as you'd imagine. But yesterday, he was a bit nervous. Having come back off a bit of a break, he said he's a bit quiet in the changing room. Yeah.
Of course.
After a year out.
A bit ashamed.
Especially, it's about being accepted by the other players again. And that's going to be the nervous bit. Once he knows he's accepted, but you see, he'll have learnt too. He'll have learnt how to behave. He'll have learnt, hopefully, some humility.
Humility. Which is not the top of the list for Aussie sportsmen, is it? Particularly cricketers at that level. But maybe that's what he's learned.
And good he'll be life a better lesson. Player for it, I think.
He'll be a better person for
yes,
it.
Yes, more
to
importantly.
The point.
I wonder how long that's going to last, that humility.
What, until they're winning 2-0 in the Ashes?
Well, yeah.
Or something, and they're in the England, some of the, in the grill of some of the England players.
Yeah, yeah.
Have that, mate. That is the Aussie one. Then.
It'd be interesting to see what they're like. Obviously, this whole Australian culture has supposedly gone through a bit of a change since they were dropped, and Tim Payne became wicketkeeper captain.
That's what they say.
They're supposed to have done that. So I wonder when they come back in, whether we'll see the old Australia. I imagine it'll all be toned down, but how far that goes, we'll have to see. But they'll be, I mean, he's batting well again, so he's sure to be in the World Cup team and the Ashes team.
It'll be competitive, which is what we want from our sport, right?
Yeah, we don't want to be too good, though. I'd quite like to come back and got a duck. But,
I'll take 3-2. I'll take a 3-2 victory. That would be fun.
Love sports.
It's been international week this week. It continues through the next few days. England playing Montenegro tonight. I believe that Wales might have a... No, Wales only playing one, aren't they? They played the friendly against Trinidad and Tobago. Now, let's talk about Scotland. The Scotland manager, Alex McLeish, felt nerves got to his players in their 2-0 win over San Marino in the Euro 2020 qualifying. Fans who made the trip to watch them take on the lowest ranked side in the world voiced their frustrations with the performance. McLeish said he's not surprised by their reaction to their shock opening defeat to Kazakhstan. Well, joining us now is the former Scotland and West Ham striker Frank McAvennie. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
A bit of a lean time for Scottish international football at the moment, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's an easy way of putting it, yeah. Torres, I think it was. I think everyone, the whole nation, expected a bit more than two goals last night. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It's horrible to watch.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, you're saying that people expected a bit more, but there's not. We're looking at the squad and the players coming through. There's not a huge amount of talent coming through at the moment, is there?
I understand that, but there's better players sitting on the bench and was on. I mean, listen, McTominay. I mean, he was outstanding against Paris Saint-Germain, and it doesn't get a game in the Scotland team now. I don't take anything to look at what all the supporters are worrying about up here. He wasn't playing last night. Now, he might have got an injury, but why bring him on Thursday night if he's got an injury?
Yeah.
So Frank, I mean, first thing I think is to be clear is that they won. Qualification football is just about winning more than anything else. So I know it wasn't as good as everyone thinks, but they've registered their points. Do you think the treatment of the manager was fair? Do you think this is... I mean, you've just spoken about players possibly not being picked. Is it then down to the manager? Is it time for the manager to go? Who else is there?
Know. Well, the manager sees people. He sees them at training. The thing that baffled me, there was two boys now that O'Donnell and another boy from Kilmarnock, they play in plastic every week. Why did they not play on Thursday night, you know? Because he's put on a boy Palmer who looked a bit out of his depth. He went, that might just be his first game and we're all entitled to that. So, you know, to bring someone in to make their debut on a plastic pitch with a makeshift defence, I thought that Big Alex should have played. Maybe the boys from Kilmarnock who play in that and training that every day.
Yeah.
And it might have been better. Just some of the decisions they made for me was wrong.
And do you think, I mean, obviously the Scotland fans are not very happy with him. Do you think getting rid of the manager will solve things?
I just look at players. I mean, I look at it from a player's perspective and I look at them. I seen them walking off the pitch on Thursday night. Not one of them knew what they were doing, I don't think. And they come off the pitch yesterday and, you know, if I was McTominay, I'm just making the boy an example because he's played for one of the biggest clubs in the world. He's played in the last six games or something like that. He was outstanding, getting many match praise against PSG. And he's not getting a game, so you're thinking, what am I going to do? Because the boys around about me are not good enough. This is what I would say if I was a boy. I was saying, they're not better than me. Am I going to come here just to make up numbers?
Yeah.
So the expectation, I mean, for us in England, you know, before Gareth Southgate came along, the expectations were very, very low. You lose against Kazakhstan, you just scrape past San Marino. What are the expectations? Because if you look at your fixtures to come, you know, you've got Cyprus, who you need to beat, because after that, it's Belgium, Russia, Belgium again, and Russia again. So it's a difficult schedule for Scotland.
Well, Well, it's good tips for the boys. That's a good only thing. Good tips for the supporters.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy Russia and they'll enjoy Belgium, but it's okay laughing, but it's getting a bit dire because we're going back away. I mean, what was it? Did they finish up 4-0 last night? They could beat a 5-0.
Yes. Yeah. No, Russia, it shows you they're not a particularly good side.
They're not a good team, you know. And San Marino, they're not even quoted in world rankings.
No.
So I think they're at the very bottom tier of it. I just think, you know, I'm looking at Forest. Okay, Celtic didn't do a lot in Europe, but they're playing every week. They're playing that environment. I don't know why I didn't play Forest.
Yeah, there was some strange, you know, strange.
Didn't get a chance against San Marino, to be honest with you, against Kazakhstan. They never get a ball, to be fair. And I thought it was a bad game for everyone all round, but I thought people like that, they can open defences up.
Yeah, there's.
I thought Fraser played well, but I thought Forest and the other side should have played. That's what, in my opinion.
Yeah, hey, it's a game of opinions, isn't it? Let's be fair. Slightly more cheery subject. West Ham actually having a half decent season. Your ex club, there's talk of them signing Jack Grealish or going after Jack Grealish. He would be a good addition for your team, would it? Would he not?
Well, I think so. I think the boy's got talent, that's for sure. And he's got a bit about him, and got a bit of a. Swagger, if you like, which is not a bad thing for West Ham. They could do with someone like that.
Yeah.
Someone to go in and take them to the next level. I think we've got some good players, to be fair. And I don't know how you're going to get them all, Jim Pitts, but Lanzini and, you know, Anderson. There's some good players there. They're very good players in midfield. But you need someone, and of course, and then Declan Rice in there with Noble, which is great. I think he's looking for some players at the end of the season. So, but you've got to wait and see what kind of players he brings in. Grealish would be a good one. I wouldn't be, I wouldn't say no to that. He's from old club, but they're the most. I've seen somewhere this morning on social media, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
They're the most improved team this year, which I don't know where that came from, but.
I think it says more about how bad they were last year, to be honest with you, Frank. But yeah, I know, I'm seeing what you're saying.
Yeah, I didn't want to see that. But.
It's fair enough. Hey, that's what I'm here for. Nice to speak to you, Frank.
No problem, guys.
See
you
soon. It's a former Scotland and West Ham striker, Frank McAvenny there. I think Jack Grealish would be a good addition for West Ham if that was on the cards. Because Grealish, he's another one we haven't mentioned for England by the way. And if he comes into that midfield, if he starts playing in the Premier League, because I know Gareth Southgate said, listen, there's no doubt he's got talent and we like what we're seeing, but we need to see him up against quality opposition every week. And
he's
right
different
now,
different to what we've got as well. In the middle of, you imagine him in the middle of the pitch, because what he does, which
he's got
is
time and the ball, isn't he?
And it's something that, you know, that separates the good from the great in midfield, is when you can move with the ball through the middle of the pitch, go and take your man on and then produce something. Most central midfielders are passers.
Yeah.
He can do both. So he's something we don't have at the moment.
All right, well, we'll see what happens there. Thanks to Frank McAvenny there talking to us about the malaise, I think one can say, that is currently enveloping Scottish football. Does a malaise envelop? I guess it probably does.
It can do.
Well, I think.
Well, it does today.
It does today, anyway. Love sports. You've got stories from inside the newspapers, Jamie.
Yes, yeah, so Winston Churchill's top hat and cigar case were found on, can you believe it, a council rubbish tip.
Right.
Going to sell for 10 grand, they reckon.
On a council rubbish tip. How do they know that it was Winston Churchill's hat? Did it have W. Churchill inside, written in biro? What was it? The hat and the what?
A cigar case and hat.
On a council tip.
Found by a refuse worker. Yeah, apparently the notes proved it was all genuine. He took it to Antiques Roadshow, and that's when it got valued at about 10 grand.
How brilliant.
But the thing for me is, how did it find its way there?
Yeah,
Where was it and how did it get there?
Yeah, who needs this old hat? Who's it? Churchill? I don't know who that is.
Sells insurance.
That's right. It's not our family. Somebody just chucked it away. Right, it could have been lost forever. That should be in a museum.
I know. It should be. And also a signed picture he gave his cook and 200 letters from her to a son with insights into Churchill's daily life.
Oh, my God. And that sort of stuff is gold
history
for historians, isn't it,
Excellent
really?
Excellent stuff.
Right, OK, well, it's good that they've been saved for the nation.
Yes. Electric Mustang, another good thing to come out of the papers today.
What's that?
Ford are making an electric Mustang.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was a band you were going to go and see.
Sounds like a good name of a band,
electric
actually.
Electric Mustang is actually not a bad name for a band. Anyway, there's going to be an electric Mustang. Well, all the car companies are going for electric cars now, aren't they?
Mm. Don't have to pay the fare, will you, for central London?
The ULEZ, the ultra low emission zone thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's all that.
You'll be coughing up with your old bangers, won't you?
Coughing up because the air's bad. That's why. I see what you did. Okay, fair enough. That was actually me. That was all in my head. The Mustang. Well, it's a good looking car, a Mustang.
It is a good looking car.
I remember a guy in this office I used to work in years ago, and he had a Mustang, quite a flash looking thing.
But they have a distinctive sound, so put electric in them, and it's gonna
be different.
Sound be different. Weird.
Wasn't the Mustang? Wasn't that the one that had part of the engine up through the bonnet?
I think some of it. Very throaty. That sort of
That deep sound. But anyway,
it was going to sound like now. Oh,
well,
God.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be quieter. That's what it'll be. The electric cars are quieter. A lot of people get run over by electric cars because if you don't look, you can't hear them coming.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they're
because you're on your phone.
You're on your phone. That's what it is. So, anyway, that's coming soon.
That's happening. Yeah, a man tried to burgle a house in Burnley wearing high heels at the weekend.
Why?
Well, he just likes wearing high heels, I suppose.
Okay.
When he burgles.
So please release the CCTV. I mean, that is just a logistical nightmare, trying to run away in heels.
Well, imagine what he's got flats in his bag.
You're talking from experience. It sounded there like he was talking from experience.
Have you ever put high heels on?
No,
I'm only asking it because I dressed up.
No, absolutely not.
In the same office where the bloke had the Mustang, me and a mate dressed up as women one time. I don't know why, we're just having a bit of a laugh. It's a Christmas party or something.
So you just thought to yourselves, let's dress up as women.
Yeah, we've got high heels and they are
makeup?
Uncomfortable. Yeah, makeup, high heels, the lot.
Tissue
in the boobs.
Yeah,
it might have been. We might have stuffed something down there. Mm. And he had something.
You say it so nonchalantly. It's just like blahs out.
I felt different.
Okay.
I felt somewhat used by some of the men in the office. I'll be honest with you. They just looked at me in a different way. Stop going. Eyes up. Eyes up above the neck. Really used to upset me, to be honest.
Did you have the walk done, sorted? You know, that swagger.
When you're walking in high heels, you do sort of have to swagger in a different way.
Yeah, of course you do.
They're massively uncomfortable. That's the point. I don't know why women put up with him. But I'm saying that this robber, he would have worn the high heels, and we'll get into why he would do that. This is a cross-dressing burglar, okay? But then I imagine he'd keep flat shoes in his bag if he's being chased by the cops.
Got to.
As soon as the cop, oi, stop there. And he quickly throws the high heels off, puts the flats on these off straight away, right? Oh, and it's such a relief when he gets home. Finally, I can take these off. Why is he robbing a house in high heels?
I mean, I guess maybe it's some sort of kick he gets out of it.
Do you think?
Yeah. I can't think of anything else because surely you think even if...
Champagne would do it. That's what most people get a kick out of.
Sure, you must think.
I get a kick from champagne. Do you know that?
Yeah, no, I knew that's what you're getting at.
You weren't laughing enough for me. So,
you'd have thought.
What an idiot. Why would he do that?
He was also wearing denim shorts.
Denim shorts and high heels.
Denim shorts and high heels.
You know what? Listen, hey, if you want to cross dress, that's absolutely fine. Not a problem with that. But if you're burgling a house as well, I would have thought comfort
How'd you carry the swag? What I mean?
How'd you carry it?
Yeah,
he's got a nice clutch bag.
I was going to say.
Puts it in. And he's got it. He's got it. He's all stylish, and it matches the shoes.
Yeah,
the swag bag.
Fair play.
It does. So good luck to him.
He hasn't been caught. Police are looking into it.
Are they?
So yeah,
right.
You see a bloke walking around with a swag bag and high heels in Burnley. And speak to
Burnley.
Don't approach
Burnley. Yeah. I mean, everything about that story is odd.
Yeah,
I would suggest
Ted Baker is selling a £280 jacket.
For how much?
But the
right.
But the problem
is it white? That's a very heavy jacket. Oh, you didn't mean that.
You're on one at the moment, aren't you?
But the
too much tartrazine this morning.
The problem is, it has a magnetic thing that fastens it below the left
magnetic
shoulder.
Magnetic thing. You mean a magnet?
Yeah.
It's what you mean by that.
That is what I mean, yeah. A magnetic magnet underneath the left shoulder.
That's doubly magnetic.
But they haven't thought about it properly because it disrupts pacemakers. So it's a danger for anyone who's got heart problems, got a pacemaker, and they'll put on this new jacket, and then suddenly the magnet's disrupting that.
They need to tell people when they're buying it. Oh, that jacket looks nice on you, sir. Have you had any heart problems in the past? pacemaker, sir? Well, then I'd leave that one alone. Okay.
Pretty much. One person who bought the jacket had stopped her pacemaker 3 times.
Oh, God.
Wow. Weird.
Could it restart it as well? Could you go, how much is this jacket? And they go, £280. You have a heart attack at the cost. And then they put the jacket on and the magnet restarts the heart. Could that work? Quick, get the jacket on him. Can you do CPR? No, just put the jacket on him. Oh, he's back. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that has benefits as well. Yeah.
Could save lives. It's a life jacket. It's essentially what it is. Anyway, yeah. One more.
The owner of a booming honey making business is allergic to guess what?
Honey.
No. Close.
Hives.
Close.
It's wasps.
Bees.
Is it bees? I can't believe it.
Yeah.
A bloke who owns a honey. He's allergic to bees.
Yeah.
How did he get to own it? Why did he buy it? Was it a present for him? Got you a present, Brian. It's a hive. No! Do you want to go look at it? No. Can't go near it. He's not got any binoculars.
He's from Bermondsey.
He's what?
He's from Bermondsey.
It doesn't matter where he's from.
Oh, I thought you did it out of Yorkshire. No, not going. No.
It wasn't that. It was more fear of bees. Right. Anyway, he's allergic to bees.
Yeah, he quit his job as a stockbroker to own Bermondsey.
Because there were a lot of bees. Knocking about. I was nothing to do with that. Okay.
Bermondsey Street bees.
Jesus. Even I'm thinking, shut up, Ian. We didn't just. Bermondsey Street.
Bermondsey Street bees. And they make honey.
Street bees. Yo, what's up? You got the honey going. That sort of street. No. Does it matter? It doesn't matter, does it? Anyway, he's allergic to bees.
That's it. He's allergic to bees. He's understood how to handle them, though. When he gets stung, he aches all over. The pain's unbearable, but he manages to deal with them.
Right.
He's all right if he's not getting stung, apparently.
Well, I mean, we all are, to be perfectly honest with you. Okay. Thank you, Jack.
That's all right.
Well done for getting through it. Love
sports. Ian Stone here with Paul Morton. I was just talking to Mort. I was watching one of those on Sky. They've got those, the football years.
Yeah.
And it was 98, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And Mort's got a really rather lovely goal.
It was okay.
Against Leeds United for Charlton.
Yes,
for
that's right.
For Charlton when he cut inside. And you're telling me the story about how Lee Bowyer.
Yeah.
Is what is he saying? So he's running
he's
back.
He's screaming back to his
playing
teammates.
For Leeds,
yeah,
by the way.
Playing for Leeds. Cut inside. He's only, let him go inside. He's only got, he ain't got a right foot. So I've turned, put it in the corner and he's turned and he's gone. Fair play, Morse.
And you did have a right foot because you knocked it into the top top corner of the net from 25
got
yards.
Beat, but
best goal you scored? It's a nice goal.
No, best goal was the first ever at Norwich. Beat about 4 players and put it in the corner.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best.
Is that on film? Is that on film?
It's on film.
It is on
shut
film.
It, you. Do you know the worst thing about that? Do you know the worst thing about that is the commentator was calling me Carl Leeburn. to the point where my daughter's at uni, my daughter Courts is at uni, and she rings me up and says, Dad, you scored that goal, didn't you? Right. She was having a row with her mates. No, it says Leeburn. So she put it on social media. For God's sake, this is not Carl Leeburn. This is my dad who scored this goal. Get it right.
How funny. So your best goal you ever scored was actually possibly scored by someone else.
It was
great goal by
not scored by someone.
Great
else.
Goal by Leeburn.
Leeburn.
That was,
I always rated him.
Yeah.
Leeburn. He's really that honestly, the shooting.
One of the best of his career, I'd say.
Really
Leeburn.
One of the best. Yeah. It's a goal that I show my kids. Okay, this is skill. This is that Carl Leeburn. He's a bloke you want to look up to. Anyway,
well, he's 6'3". You're definitely looking up to him.
You would look up to him. Yeah, that's right. You have shrunk quite a bit, I must say. Now, Jamie has come in. He's looking at his phone. He's got something on his phone. What have you got, Jamie?
Morts, what year was this? Is this night? Oh, I think this is the goal here. I'm watching it here.
Oh, you're watching it, are
you?
Oh,
that is a good goal. That's all right. Carl Leeburn, that is fantastic.
Tremendous, tremendous radio. Somebody watching a goal on the TV. Not even the commentary.
So, I could talk you through it. Morse is running through the ball, bounces off the defender's shins a few times. Comes back into
that hurts.
Back into his path, and then he puts it away.
And he buries it. Buries it like the penalty box predator he was. What else you got? What you got? I was just started off by saying what a lovely goal you scored against
Leeds. And you just killed it stone dead.
In 98. I mean, how old were you? You were getting on of it.
Oh, here we go again.
You were getting on of it. Honestly, he lifted his arms off his walking frame after he scored it. He went, thank you. And they bought him a blanket and he had to lie down. It was a great goal. Anyway, what else you got?
Onions can decrease the risk of bowel cancer by quite a lot, by 79% actually. If you eat half an onion a day,
really?
You're 79% less likely to get bowel cancer.
Cooked or raw?
Raw.
Raw onions. You got to put them in a salad.
If you boil them, it reduces the benefit.
Does it? Okay. Mm. I mean, on the other hand, your breath will smell of onion for days.
Yeah.
So there is that. I do like, I will have raw onion in a salad. I don't mind. In a salad, it's quite nice. Nice little piquant sort of taste to it. But I prefer them fried up. Fried onions.
Fried up is better.
Oh, yeah. My God. Love fried onions.
I told you I can't eat onions raw since my brother took a bite out of
it. Yeah, I know.
Now even just a bit in a salad, I'm like, no, needs
to be cooked. My missus, she doesn't like onions in a salad. She doesn't like nuts in a salad either. I find that quite upsetting.
Yeah.
I have to add nuts to my own bit of salad at the end. So we make a salad.
Nuts.
And then I'll nuts, yeah,
you
like
said mutts.
Yeah, dog. We like dog salad. Nuts is what I meant. That's right.
Not getting away with it.
Oh, I realise that. No, nuts. But cashew or a bit of a walnut and a salad's lovely. It's lovely. But anyway, my missus doesn't like that. So quite plain salad she likes.
Was trying to think, was it Waldorf salad?
Waldorf salad
has a bit of walnut in it, doesn't it?
It has some walnut in
walnut,
it, that's
apple.
Right.
Grapes, and what's missing?
That's a good question. What else goes in a Waldorf salad? Lettuce.
And there's something else.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is it radish?
Sea.
Sea. Salad. No. I don't know.
Celery.
What? Celery.
Celery goes in a Waldorf salad.
Right, okay.
I can't eat that then.
Remember when the Chelsea fans used to bring celery to football matches and sing that rather rude song?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't repeat it on the radio. It was quite a rude song. And then they'd throw loads of celery. And they had to put a thing in the programme saying, please don't sing that song and throw celery onto the pitch. It's all a bit weird. Anyway, what else you got?
You actually lose more weight eating celery. Well, you lose weight eating celery, don't you? Because the calories you use when you eat it is more than you put on.
Is that right?
The celery,
I only lose weight because it makes me sick. Just the smell. If you were eating
celery.
Something, you could be eating the most complex food. I could smell the celery.
Huh.
Really?
It just makes me feel sick.
When you're
I
back in Wednesday, innit?
Bring celery. Why would I do that? To wind him up? Because, listen, people are scared of particular foods. There's quite a famous comic who is scared of bananas.
Yeah.
Scared of bananas.
So
and I saw him. I went, hey, how are you? And he ran away from me. I was eating a banana and he ran away from me. And I thought, What's up with him? It's a bit weird. And he said to me, Stoney, I can't be near bananas. Can't be near bananas. Oh, okay, fair enough.
You're not that bad, are you, Mort?
No, just the smell of it. Just the smell of it.
I wouldn't wave celery at him. That would just be weird.
You'd want that to happen.
You know, people are scared of certain food. Oranges. I knew someone who was scared of oranges as well.
Mm, it's a little bit odd, that.
I've got to find out what you're frightened of and bring it in.
Commitment.
How do you know that?
I can't wave commitment at him. Anyway.
Something that a lot of people are scared of, actually, in the papers today, crocodiles. And the number of people being bitten by them.
Who isn't scared of crocodiles? I mean, what sort of person would not be scared of crocodiles? I mean, I don't mind seeing them in a cage, but if there's one in the room, I'm running.
And how do you get... How are so many people being bitten by them?
Well, 7 people were attacked by crocodiles
when?
In a year.
In a year? That doesn't seem that many.
Jaw-dropping figures show, it says.
Jaw-dropping figures. Yeah, but where? Where was this?
Where?
In Tesco's. That would be weird. But this is, I imagine, in places where there are crocodiles.
Well, this is...
It would help, yeah.
It's not imaginary crocodiles. That's a fair point, actually, when you say it. Yeah.
No, this is in England.
7 people in England have been attacked by crocodiles.
Were treated in England. I think this is happened in England rather than being bitten away from England then coming back to be treated.
Yeah.
Another 51 were bitten or crushed by a non-venomous reptile.
Crushed? What? Crushed by one? How big are these reptiles? They're non-venomous. I don't... Okay.
Snakes.
51 people...
Snakes.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so. 51 people were crushed or bitten by non-venomous reptiles. Right. They're more dangerous than I thought.
Mm. Yeah, a lot more.
All right, then.
I wonder where these crocodiles are lurking.
Can you lurk as a crocodile?
Well, any animal lurks as a crocodile, isn't
it? I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Lurking in the lake.
I don't know.
What? Lurking in the lake. They live in lakes. They're not lurking.
I don't know if they're lurking.
Yeah, they lurk because they know you're there and they're just waiting to pounce.
I used to lurk around women. Did I tell you this? When I used to go to discos, I'd see a woman I like and I'd go and stand, sort of lurk by her.
And?
Never got anywhere near
you
them.
Ever get ejected, chucked out because you're just frightening
and
stalking?
No, I wasn't. No, I was the same
that's
age
what it is,
as them.
Stalking.
I wasn't. I was just, you see a woman, you think, oh, okay. And I go and sort of dance by her, trying to impress her with my moves.
And when she moves off, do you follow her?
Yeah,
you
to her house.
You know that's stalking.
Which was weird. I do see that. Yeah.
She'd lurk in her garden when she gets home.
Yeah, it was a bit odd. But I didn't think crocodiles lurk, really. But it's like saying that insects, you know, they call them creepy crawlies, don't they? But they don't. They're just moving about. They're not creeping or crawling anywhere.
No, they scuttle, don't they, spiders?
Well, it's just... I suppose they do. Anyway, let's get off the subject a little bit. Anyway, so crocodiles are biting people.
Yeah, crocodiles and alligators. So I guess moral there, just try and look out for them if you're around lakes.
Keep an eye out. Okay.
Just don't look too close. Don't go too close. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No.
We don't want any more of them. We got a tweet, have we?
Oh, we did. I mean, somebody has said it, right? Cal said, I'm the same with cucumber. The smell of it in anything. Salad, hand cream, water, far too overpowering, work of the devil. It's Cal Halbert, who's of this station. Doesn't like cucumber. I'm saying people are scared of food. Bit weird being
Jamie's
scared
face.
Of cucumber and
I can't describe. Honestly, we're on radio. I wish they could see your face as Sony was talking.
Yeah.
Oh, are you scared of any foods? What are you scared of?
Am I scared of any foods? No, I don't think I am. I told you I walked on stage when I went, I'm Jewish, and somebody went, bacon sandwiches. Like I'd be fearful of bacon. Like even the sound of the word bacon would send me recalling in horror.
What was your response to that?
I said, I just said it's weird. Do you think if I walked on stage and went, I'm a diabetic, and they go, sugary snacks? Oh no, stop, don't even mention them. I found it weird.
That is odd.
No, I'm not scared of food.
And you like bacon sandwiches anyway.
Yes, I do. I do.
Your rabbi's not listening.
No.
You seem hesitant.
Does your rabbi know you're here? No, he doesn't.
Love sports.
Now.
What are you going to say? Mind ticking.
National anthems are so ridiculous, aren't they? Those big cymbals. Crash. I mean, anyway, that, by the way, is the national anthem for the country with the most cars per 1,000 people. So I'm wondering what that might be. Is it Singapore? Is that even in the area, by the way? Jamie's coming. Is that even in the area?
Nope. No. Near it. It's a country that's got a bit of bad press today.
Has it?
It's not
today.
It's not Scotland.
It's not Scotland. It's not San Marino. Is it San Marino?
San Marino.
That is the San Marino national anthem.
Yeah.
There's an orchestra playing that, and that is everyone in San Marino playing that national anthem. When they're born, they go, you can do the oboe. and it's like your instrument is chosen for you, and they hand it to you. And the poor, like the little kids, they get crushed by these things sometimes. They're too big. Not the double bass.
What are you going on?
You get the instrument and you get your starting position in the football team.
That's what you do.
Get right wing, right wing, violin.
Violin. That's what happens. Yeah. For San Marino.
So fair play to San Marino. Dear. They might not be that good at football,
but they can play.
But
they got some like cymbals that are stupidest, aren't they? I mean, who decides to do that? It's the least musical person. You can crash the cymbals together.
Yeah.
As it's the only country to break the one car per person barrier.
They've got more cars than people.
Yeah.
Have they?
1,263 cars per 1,000 people.
Wow. That is ridiculous.
Blimey. Yeah.
The air must be terrible there.
Yeah, it must be.
They need a low emission zone.
Yeah.
All right.
Quite closely followed by the United States.
Where is San Marino? I don't even know where it is. Is it an Italian mountain?
It's Italy, isn't it?
Little landlocked place in Italy.
Right. But they drive about everywhere. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
How big is it with that many cars?
It's not that big.
It's really small. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, parking's a nightmare.
Oh, God.
One can imagine.
Rush hour.
Rush hour in San Marino. What a nightmare that is. People have had to queue up for minutes.
I'd love to hear you do the travel from San Marino.
Yeah, love to hear me do the travel from here. But
well, you know, yeah, okay. But anyway, that's San Marino.
Yeah, San Marino.
Learning about San Marino today.
There was a story in the national news on the hour that, if you heard it, criminals have been using to get stuff into prison.
Drones,
yes.
No, not drones.
Oh, it's disgusting.
No, rats.
Rats?
Dead rats.
Carrier rats.
Sewing them up. They open up the rats.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They open up the rats.
Clean everything out.
Have a little sort of scrape out of all the insides. Oh, and God. Then they put whatever it is in a bag. Inside the rat. Yeah. And then what do they do with it? They smuggle the rats in.
They chuck the rats over the fence.
Oh,
they,
my God.
Hold it by the tail and sling it over.
What sort of can you get in? What can you get in? A stereo. A massive rat.
They had mobile phones. I've seen a picture of it in one of the other papers.
5 mobile phones, chargers, 3 SIM cards, cigarette papers.
And a partridge in a pear tree, apparently. That was the other thing they got in.
They got the tree
inside
in.
The rat.
Yeah, yeah. And drugs.
Horrible. Mm. Oh, well. Well, I mean, they put them in a bag. I suppose it's not hygienic, but, you know, smuggling, isn't it?
This has been going on in Guy's Marsh prison in Dorset. And obviously, if you're a prison guard walking past, you're not going to, oh, look, dead rat. Nothing to be seen here, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Little do you know that but actually inside that rat.
Yeah, but if you see one flying past your head, look, there's a flying rat. Oh, the fool's killed it. What a shame. And then a prisoner comes out. Oh, don't you worry about that, sir. I'll look after it. That's fine. You haven't got a knife, have you? No, I don't want to shank anyone. That's the word, isn't it? Shank.
What are you looking at me Shiv- for? I'm How not, would I know?
I don't. I'm just looking at you. I don't. I'm Jamie. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was no easy way of getting out of that last bit. Anyway, what else have we got?
Post-mortem Pat. Is another story.
Post-mortem Pat. With his dead rat. Early in the morning. As the family are in mourning. Thank you.
Pat feels he's a very lucky man. Because he woke up.
What's going on?
He woke up on the way to the morgue.
Oh, this guy, this was a postman. Who they thought he died. They told his family he died, and then they were taking the body to the morgue, and he woke up. He goes, I haven't done number 57 yet. And then they knew he was alive.
Pretty much, yeah. He was on his way to...
It's apparently what he said. That was his last words.
Hospitals...
Can I leave it with you? The neighbours aren't in.
Hospitals, doctors battle for 6 hours. To save him in a series of injections. They tried CPR, tried everything, couldn't wake him up. No sign of him waking up, so they took him to the morgue.
Announced him dead,
yeah. Medics informed his wife and children he was dead.
Oh, my God.
They phoned his parents in Portugal, so he works in Gloucestershire. Oh. They phoned Portugal, so, you know, your son's dead. And then, yeah, on the way to the morgue, up he pops. And he returned to work after just 3 weeks. They thought, right, even though he's woken now, his heart won't be able to get back to like it was. And then he had made a full recovery. 3 weeks later, he's back in work.
What's worrying about all that, of course, is that give it another half an hour, he's in cold storage. Yeah. Right? And he probably dies from hypothermia at that point.
Is it so cold that, I mean, do they lock the doors? Would he be able to get out?
Do you know, I don't imagine they do lock the doors. No. They don't have many escapees. Toothpaste. Went to that body. I saw him doing the post round. I mean, I'm just saying.
Gone too.
How? Yeah, that's right. How?
We'd like to hope that they wouldn't lock those doors just for instances like this, in case someone does wake up.
In Victorian times, they used to, because they sometimes weren't sure whether people had died. They obviously medicine was not the same, so they put them in a coffin. They'd have a bell, wouldn't they? Above the coffin.
Oh, yes.
And so the people, if somebody woke up and they were inside the coffin, they could ring the bell, you know. But this is different, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they used to do that more often back then, didn't they? They didn't have the same medicine. So they used to think people had died when they hadn't more often. How scary would that be?
Well, not very, very nice. Scary. Not very nice. It's one of the main fears that people have, being buried alive.
Mm.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, anyway, he survived.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank goodness Zhao has
That's
survived.
His name?
Yeah, his name's Zhao.
Zhao, okay. Portuguese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Portuguese. A house on the market for 50 grand. Bargain, I hear you saying.
Where, though?
It's a hoarder's paradise. Apparently, it's packed floor to ceiling with rubbish. Oh, so if you want to buy it, you've got to clear the rubbish first.
Where's the house?
Quinton, Birmingham.
Right. And it's just packed. One of these people, was it some old person who lived there for 20 years and nobody ever came and visited and they just kept everything?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really sad.
That's
when
the
that
sort
happens.
Of thing, though. You think it's a bit of a bargain. If you could clear the rubbish, if you've got time to clear the rubbish, 50 grand for a house isn't too bad. Needs a bit of work, but...
I imagine it does need a bit of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, and you never know what rubbish he's kept that might be useful.
You'd be genuinely surprised, actually, because where I used to live, there used to be an old lady live a couple of doors, and she's knocked on our door one day. She's locked herself out, so she's come to me and said, can you climb in through the window?
Yeah.
So climbing through the window, and it's literally like stepping back into the 50s. Absolutely every... She hoarded.
Yeah.
But everything, the taps, the milk bottles, everything was like something from the 50s. It was absolutely incredible.
I mean, it's worrying in a way, isn't it? Because it's almost like it's a slight mental health issue if you're hoarding like that.
It was concerning.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, well, it was because she couldn't look after herself. We had a power cut once and we're all outside sort of, you know, talking all the neighbours, and then you hear boof. And it's this old lady who's fallen down the step and hurt herself just because, you know, she no lights in her house, couldn't look after herself.
Couldn't light a candle.
Couldn't do anything. It was such a shame.
Didn't have room to light a candle. She couldn't actually move her arm to strike a match.
She drove her car and, that was something.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, well, so anyway, 50 grand in Birmingham.
If you want that house in Birmingham full of rubbish, 50 grand.
But you have to get rid of all the rubbish.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of trips to the local dump.
You might be like the lucky man who found £10,000 worth of Winston Churchill signed pictures and all sorts in the rubbish tip just this weekend.
Yeah, you'd have to wade. You'd wade through. I'd have to pay someone to wade. Oh, God, no.
You have to go through it. I mean, we don't hoard at home. We haven't been through the drawers at home in years. But we don't hoard stuff like that. Yeah, it's a bit sad, really. But anyway, 50 grand. It's a bargain.
Bargain.
Oh, I didn't. Well, I'll have a look at the estate agent's place later on. Love Sport.